Ghosts are everywhere.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, hello.
Oh, wow, hello.
Oh, wow, we're here again.
Wow, we're here again doing the thing that we do. What in the world?
It's pretty wild. Just keeps happening.
It's pretty wild. And it's pretty wild that we're staying on schedule this week particularly, I must say. Pat ourselves on the back for this one, I think.
Kylie's been going through it.
I've been going through it, y'all. Last weekend, I had COVID.
It's Kylie's turn. I had it for Christmas, and now Carly has it for March.
Last week of February, March.
Yeah.
Welcome me into the folds, folks. I am here to say I am triple vaccinated. After like 5 days of isolation, really it's 6 days, because the first day of your symptoms is day zero. They don't tell you that until they tell you that.
Fun, so it's really 6 days.
Yeah, I know, right? And there's like misinformation, but these are the informations I'm here to tell you. I'm feeling good. I had it felt like a bad flu. I'm very lucky. My voice sounds like this now. Hot and sexy.
It's the COVID voice.
It's my COVID voice in my boots. I love to see it. So I've been lucky, and hopefully it continues this way, and everyone in my family seems okay, knock on wood. Everyone I have seen, or the few people I've seen, or the few places I did go, everything seemed okay. Don't know where I got it, don't know anything. That's just generally, not just about this. But yeah, get vaccinated. We'll keep saying it. And not only that, but get your boosters, because that's important.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're probably going to fucking get it anyway.
You're probably going to get it anyways, but it'll be a lot less bad.
It won't be so bad.
Yeah. Hopefully. I had like one big day of fever, and then it's been like a bad chest cold. And then every day is getting better. So yeah, it feels good. I mean, not good, but it feels good to be getting better is what I mean to say. And I can do and be out and things because I am vaccinated and I'm much less contagious and all these things. So,
but we're recording
virtually.
Of course,
I'm taking every precaution that I'm supposed to, but we're recording virtually, you know, doing extra steps because it's important to be comfortable and make everyone else in your life comfortable as well. And not to just only do the bare minimum. This is not a time for us to do the bare minimum, which we generally try not to do in general.
We love to do the bare maximum.
We love to do the bare maximum, and you can take that to the bank. I am Carly.
Whoa, okay. I'm Cecilia.
And this is Ghosts Are Everywhere. We redo the bare maximum every week.
We are always doing the bare maximum, and that's the Ghosts Are Everywhere promise.
And we've said it time and time again, and we'll continue to say it. It's the bare maximum.
We will just keep saying it. It's like the bare necessities. It's the bare necessities for us to do the bare maximum.
It really is.
We're maximalists.
Hey, we actually are, and we also truly are bare maximalism. yep.
And what does that mean?
Well, I wish we had enough time on this podcast to go into and truly, but I feel
it's a very complicated concept.
There's so much moving parts, but so barely much to dig into. There's so much to dig into, but not all the way. Because Cecilia, we do the bare maximal amount. We're not going to do the most of the most. We're going to do the least of the most.
We are going to do the least of the most every time.
Yeah. Every time.
What we're willing to give you.
And correct.
We have the energy.
So you won't
to
be explaining it today because you get it. You know?
We don't. You know what? Carly had COVID. She's tired.
I was tired before I had COVID. You think I'm tired now?
And
you best believe
even
I am.
More tired.
Yeah. That's born tired.
The other Ghosts Are Everywhere promise. We're tired.
We're tired. Aren't you tired? I'm sure you're tired at home.
I'm
take
sure
a rest.
You're tired.
This is your reminder to get some rest. Drink some water.
Have a Kit Kat.
Yeah. I bet you're also doing the bare minimal right now. So just take a little wee rest. And that's good. Then you won't be doing the most of the most. You'll be doing the bare minimal.
How about we rest and listen to our voices as we tell you about ghosts?
That's right. That's what we're here to do every week.
As always.
Including today.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Including today. Including and tomorrow today. And the next yeah. day. And whatever day you put your little headphones on and listen to us.
That's the beauty of this thing. You could listen to this every day if you wanted to.
You could. Oh, you really my God. Could.
And maybe you should.
You could listen to it every day, all day, all the time.
You could just have it on repeat.
You could be
me with my song of the week. I do this thing where sometimes for a week or so I get obsessed with just listening to one song and yes. I'll listen to it on repeat for literally yep. at least a week. And then after that, it's dead to me.
That's a nice thing about not living with Carly anymore is she would play the same song over and over again. Yeah. And I'd have to
just
hear
for like
it.
A week though.
And sometimes that song would be Let It Go from Frozen and I would be losing my goddamn mind because I didn't want to listen to that song one time and I had to hear it 7,000 times.
Yeah, well, I was learning it to sing it well, and guess what? My Adele Dazeem impression is off the charts, so get wrecked.
At the cost of my mental health.
Yeah, but you survived. We all do.
I did. I made it through.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell the tale, and that's... I'm so brave.
You're the bravest that you could be.
I'm so brave. I'm a real girl boss over here.
You're really girl bossing everywhere. Yeah.
And I'm girl bossing all over the place.
Proud of you.
And we're here and we're going to talk about ghosts because that's we're right. girl bosses.
We're real and girl ghost bosses.
This week, us. We're doing just a good old choose your own adventure. We yep. each picked a story. Correct?
Correct. Anywhere, anywhen, usually ghosts. And yep. I don't know what you're telling. You don't know what I'm telling. Nope. But our friends at home probably have a clue of what we're talking about because mm-hmm. they probably read the description. And
it's
if they didn't,
for us,
then it'll be a surprise for you, too.
Yeah, could surprise. Be a surprise for you. Maybe probably just a surprise for us. Hopefully yep. we didn't check in with each other this week to make sure we didn't pick the same thing. So
no, but you know what? We'll have to figure it out, I guess.
We'll have to figure
the
it out.
The chances on a choose your own, Cecilia, are more than one in a million. Like,
it would be wild.
The only time in Ghost River history and something we never thought would happen that we did the same story when we did the Frank slide was yes. because we were confined to a small area and there was miscommunication between
the
two of
thing.
Us. And we picked the same thing. However... I would be utterly shocked if we chose the exact same story because I have a feeling my story you would never choose.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would choose mine.
I'll put down on that. Okay.
For different reasons than I choose mine.
Ooh. Okay, well, I'm going to start this week. And if I start talking and I see panic on your face, then we'll have to change gears and see what's going
on. I'm just going to throw the microphone down and leave.
Oh,
and you're just going to have to tell the story to yourself on FaceTime.
I'll just tell it to myself crying on FaceTime.
Yeah. Well, there's like an empty room that you're watching with no me in it. I'll be gone.
You'll be vamoosed.
I'm going to go home.
So sad. You're home, but also your other home.
I'm at my parents' house.
Well, home is where the heart is, Cecilia. That's
home
what Madeline says.
Home is where my butt is currently.
I'm pretty sure your butt is right there. Home in Hamilton.
Currently, it's right on this couch.
Home is where the butt is, Cecilia yep. O'Grady.
Yep.
Well, you know, I'm going somewhere that is not home for either of us, but I'm sure is home to many folks. What? We're going to the good old U.S. of A, and
Uh-oh,
we are
going
to Frankfort, Kentucky.
Nope, not where I'm going.
See, I had a feeling.
Never heard of it. Not a real place.
The bluegrass of Kentucky.
Carly,
that's
no one
drag
lives
queen,
there. It's not a real
Trixie
place.
Trixie Mattel sings about it. Kentucky's not real?
Frankfort, Kentucky's not real. Also,
Frankfort, Kentucky's so real.
Kentucky is where the fried chicken is, but I've never met
the
a person
Colonel.
From Kentucky.
Well, Cecilia, I'm about
Except
to teach
colonel.
You about another colonel from Kentucky today.
Wow. Okay.
He's not Sanders. He's not
another
the,
colonel
the chicken
from
man. The colonel from Kentucky you've never heard okay. of.
But he doesn't
probably.
Chicken.
No.
He doesn't have herbs and spices.
No, he doesn't have 11 herbs and spices. Okay. But he is what Kentucky's also known for, which is bourbon.
Ooh, okay. So,
in Frankfort, Kentucky, lies what claims to be the oldest continuously operating distillery in the United States.
Cool.
Since 1775, records indicate that on the site that is now the Buffalo Trace Distillery, there has been distilling. So, they've been distilling on that site for over 200 years.
They've been distilling at that distillery. 200 years, that's a long time.
I know, for the U.S., it was, they were distilling there before the U.S. was a country, 1776. Yeah, they've been doing it, you know?
They've been.
In 1812, the first, like, permanent distillery was constructed there by Harrison Blanton. Okay. And the distillery changed hands a few times, and it changed names a bunch of times. It kind of went back and forth through the years. You know how it goes. Heck, in 1886, they even installed steam heating in the storage warehouses, which is actually the first climate-controlled warehouse process for aging whiskey in the U.S.
All right.
So, you know, trailblazers. And during Prohibition, it survived by staying open to make whiskey for medicinal purposes, which was something that very few and far between were able to do. Yeah, you can stay open for medicinal bourbon. It's important. It's medicinal.
Yes. I need it for my health.
I need it for my wounds. That's my what they would wounds. Say. Give it to me for my wounds.
For my mental wounds.
I have many wounds that need to be alcoholed. Wounds. In 2001, under its old name, the George T. Stagg Distillery, it was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and in 2013, it became a National Historic Landmark. Cute. In the 1990s, it was purchased by the Sazerac Company. Sazerac, we know. The distillery's name, Buffalo Trace, is in reference to an ancient buffalo crossing on the banks of the Kentucky River located in Franklin County, which is where the distillery is located. Buffalo Trace is mostly known for its bourbon. I mean, Kentucky bourbon. People be talking about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it also produces rye, whiskey, and vodka.
All right.
But these might not be the only kind of spirits you can find at Buffalo Trace.
Okay.
Come on, Segway. What am I not gonna do it? I gotta do it.
She's gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it right. I know. Hook, line, and whoosh, sinker. There we go. Whoosh, that's the sound of the sinker. No.
Whoosh. Yeah.
Whoosh. Yeah. I know. Sitting on 130 acres, there's lots of nooks and crannies that folks have reported strange ghostly encounters. For over 50 years, folks have reported mysterious occurrences at Buffalo Trace Distillery.
Uh-oh.
One of the buildings on site is Stony Point Mansion, which I didn't write this down, but I read that it's also, I think, the oldest, like, home in the city as well, in the area. It's the oldest home in the world!
Wow.
Yeah, no, shocking. Mm. And Stony Point Mansion is the home of Buffalo Trace's former president, Colonel Albert B. Blanton. Told you there'd be a colonel. All right,
Colonel.
Colonel Blanton.
This colonel be making whiskey, though.
Yeah, he be... This Colonel Colonel Blanton is a bourbon kind of colonel. The B in Albert B. Blanton might as well have stood for bourbon, because...
Oh, do you know what it stood for?
I'm guessing bourbon.
Probably bourbon.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other option? I'm thinking not. Unless his name was Colonel Albert Blanton Blanton, which I also think is funny.
I thought maybe it was baby. It was stood for baby.
His Colonel baby. Albert Baby Blanton.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know what one you think his name is. Is it Colonel Albert Baby Blanton, Colonel Albert Bourbon Blanton, or Colonel Albert Blanton Blanton?
Those are the options. Those are the only options. Yeah.
Those are the definitely three options.
Definitely one of those three.
Please let us know in the comments below. This is how this works. And vote. He started off at the distillery. Our boy Baby Blanton, our boy Bourbon Blanton, boy Blanton Blanton, the colonel himself, cock-a-doodle-doo, started off at the distillery as a stock boy, eventually moving his way up through the company and helping it to survive prohibition. And it was only apparently one of four distilleries to produce medicinal purpose alcohol in the U.S. during prohibition.
Is so, like, that why they survived prohibition? They didn't, like, shut down? They're like, oh, this is for medicinal purposes?
Yeah.
Please let us continue to make it.
Yeah, they were able to, like, get one of the, like, I guess, contracts to make medicinal alcohol.
Okay.
It was, like, them. It was very few ones that did.
Do you know if they made, like, rubbing alcohol and shit, or if they just like continued to make like bourbon and be like, this is for medicinal purposes?
I think it's kind of like what a lot of distilleries did at the beginning of the pandemic, where they pivoted and made like hand sanitizer. I think it's similar kind of thing, where they like mostly made like alcohol for, you know, the war and stuff,
rubbing alcohol and like okay.
But that's where the people, where the like Miss Hannigan's from Annie, you know, that's where they get it, and then they make bathtub gin with it, right? Like that's the whole thing of it.
So Miss Hannigan did an Annie?
Yeah, Miss Hannigan makes bathtub gin in one of the scenes.
Is that allowed, Carol Burnett, in a kids show?
Well, she does it. She goes, send the flood, send the flu, and she just like is mixing it with a big paddle in her bathtub.
I didn't know this stuff was happening in Annie.
It's amazing. Miss Hannigan is an icon who I hope to one day play. Good because I think she's hilarious. She's comedy.
Making bathtub gin, apparently.
I would love to make bathtub gin while in the other room there's snot-nosed sniveling little Annies.
I would prefer there not be any snot-nosed sniveling anything in my vicinity.
Well, I mean, it's her job. That's like the thing she does.
Yeah, I guess. If you need a job, if you're a lady in the Annie times and you need a job.
If you're a lady in the Depression era and you just are single and weird. I call it
the Annie era.
Yeah, it's like when you see Depression glass at the antique mall, you go, oh, it's the Annie glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know this about you to be true.
Yeah. Like,
you
that's from when Annie was a kid.
Yeah, much like how in the 50s, you don't say the 50s, you say, oh yeah, when Greece was.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's you like to differentiate times,
the Greece times
based on the musicals
there was
from that
Greece
period.
Yeah, you know this about me.
Yeah, I know. It's your favorite thing to do.
I was trying to make some more examples, but I got nothing. I was going to say, try to make something about cats, but that's not an era. That's like a society. That's
like
different.
A feeling. Yeah.
That's more of a
feline-ing.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Well, this is more during the Annie times. So we're in the Annie times.
We're in the Annie times.
To present day. To present day. So
the Annie times to the what's a present day musical to the Kiss of the Cinderella with god damn it, with Camila Cabello in it. Is that present day? The Amazon girl boss Cinderella day.
Yeah, that's present day. With the girl boss Cinderella.
Yeah, Amazon girl boss Simmons Cinderella.
Yeah, that's definitely present day. Yeah, so Colonel Blanton has existed in all these times, apparently.
To Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again Day.
Yep.
Not the flashback.
We love it.
The present day part.
Yep. So Colonel Blanton and his wife, not only trying to figure out how to get from Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again time to back to Colonel Blanton.
I'm not listening to your story. I'm just
I know. You're just coming up with new eras. Well, it's like how the 80s is chess times.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. Just want to confirm. All right.
Yeah, the 80s is chess, the 90s is shit. What is the 90s?
What is the 90s? The age-old question. What is the 90s?
Question. What is the 90s? I don't know. Little Mermaid?
Yeah, actually, Little Mermaid. No, Little Mermaid's from the 80s,
set
I think.
It's not set in the 90s
no,
either.
No. There, well, like, the 90s, like, Heathers is a musical.
Oh yeah, I guess it's a musical.
That's in the '90s. Yeah.
The 2000s is Shrek.
Yes, Shrek the Musical slaps. Okay. I was also gonna say Mean Girls because that's also a musical.
Oh, that makes sense too. That tracks too. Since Shrek, yeah. When is Shrek set? Shrek is set in, again, it's not a time. It's like a, it's a feeling.
It's a feeling. Yeah.
Shrek and cats. It's more of a feeling. More of a vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, continue your story.
Okay, great. So we're gonna get back into the kernel feeling.
Yes, and, the kernel. And, the kernel. The feeling of bourbon.
And the bourbon feeling. Mm-hmm. So Colonel Blanton and his wife.
Yes, Baby Blanton.
We know him. Not only lived in the house, but he also died there, Cecilia, in the sunroom. In Grease times, in 1959.
Whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. In West Side Story times.
In West Side Story times! Oh my god, look at you. Absolutely. I'm so shocked. Yes. Not Hairspray times, though. Just before Hairspray times.
No. Pre-Hairspray.
Yeah, pre-Hairspray, 1959.
Yep.
Today, the house is used as an office, mostly. So it's like a big old house.
Yep.
Uses an office. Many of the folks who work there have heard disembodied voices call out to them by name, which I would say no thank you to.
Vicky, I don't want them to know my name.
I don't want them to call me by name.
Yeah.
No, that means they're hanging out too much.
Yeah, that means they think they know me.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't know me, ghosts.
You don't know me. That's a new version of that song.
Oh, okay.
People have also heard footsteps, and one woman even witnessed a full body apparition, Cecilia, of a man who looked like kind of like a black shadowy mass, in a long coat and hat. And later, upon seeing a photo of a man in a long coat and hat, identified who she had seen. That picture that she saw later that day,
Mr. Blanton.
You got it! Colonel Blanton!
Colonel Blanton.
Colonel himself. Some have also encountered doorknobs rattling, which I'm not into. And when the TV show Ghost Hunters investigated the distillery in 2011, they reported activity in Stony Point. But even more than that, in the mansion, they reported lots of activity in Warehouse C, which is one of the locations where the bourbon is aged in barrels.
Okay.
So Warehouse C is basically this big old building where the bourbon comes in the big barrels, and then it gets stored there and ages for a while, and then they bring it back out. You know, that's how bourbon goes. That's how alcohol is made, folks. And when ghosts, okay, so I also thought this was really funny. At one point they said that, I've heard this before too, because while they age it, it goes in full, while they age it, you know, some evaporates and whatnot, you know.
Does it evaporate into the ghosts? Do the ghosts drink it?
That to me would have been a much funnier joke, but they said, oh, it's for the angels. Like, that's the angels' quota. They take their quota or whatever.
Oh, because they're not thinking about the ghosts.
No, we're always thinking ghosts. So my thought is they're having a little sip, which I love.
The angels are having a little sip. We haven't talked much about angels on this podcast. We're not real angel oriented.
No. Well, because people don't think about angels the way that we think about angels in modernity, if we get a little technical, is not how angels are or written in the Bible or like how historically angels have been considered or portrayed. Like we think of like cherubs, which are a very specific kind of like vibe. Yeah. Whereas like angels sound terrifying.
The only angel I care about is Angel from Buffy.
And I mean, to be fair, correct.
Yep.
The end. Mm-hmm. That's all we got to say on that.
The only angel that matters. Fuck you, Gabriel.
Don't make the angel Gabriel mad. We don't need another man mad at us, Cecilia.
He's an angel man.
Oh no.
Isn't that real?
Angel Gabriel, don't smite her, please. Or me.
I thrive off of men.
Because I'm scared of angels. They're scary as demons can be.
I'm not. Come at me, angels. I'll take it.
God, I'm not into that. She won't take you. She's lying. She's doing a bit. Leave her alone.
No, I'll do it.
Oh, God. I'm scared. I don't like it. This has taken a turn.
Carly's legitimately concerned. Carly's, like, doing the sign of the cross. She's trying to find her evil eye.
Looking for my holy water. Why didn't I wear my evil eye today? I didn't wear any protection on this call today. What the heck is wrong with me? I gotta look for my book on Italian folk magic and just do everything that is in the book now because I'm scared. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm not scared. But yeah, angels are a lot scarier than you'd think, but they brought them up in the show and they were like, ha, 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 and I was like,
Carly's like, no, that's scary.
I was like, I don't think so.
Carly's like, I'm not afraid of ghosts, but I'm fucking terrified of angels.
Well, because angels like are like supposedly have powerful powers and shit, like ghosts. What, they're gonna, you're gonna throw a chair at me?
Yeah, okay, they are.
And what, like, you know, not typically that scared, but things that are like more supernatural than just like your average run-of-the-mill ghost, Victorian haunting, is, yes, freaks me out.
Leprechauns?
Oh my God, I don't even want to think about leprechauns.
It's almost St. Patrick's Day, Carly. It's almost you gotta St. Patrick's think Day. About leprechauns.
I gotta start thinking about leprechauns. I forgot it was March already. Okay, yeah. Well, I gotta get ready.
You have to think of my people.
I the love leprechauns. I'm a big fan of their work. I love like this is gonna get so off topic. Uh-oh. I love like leprechauns. I love Rumpelstiltskin. I love like, you know, like that's such a good vibe.
It's like a little imp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Danny DeVito. You know, I just love all my people. I love them.
Me.
You, all of them. Love it all.
All your little imp friends. Little impish.
Big fan of their work. Well, I'm also a big fan of ghosts' work, and that's why.
And the angels drinking the bourbon.
Yeah, so that's back to that. Angels drink the bourbon. That's why some of it goes away, and they go, ha, 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 ha. They call it like the angels' share or something. You know, like
what was that laugh?
Because it's not that funny of a joke.
Okay.
If I ever laugh at a joke you tell like that. I'm laughing for real, not for fake.
That's for real. It's definitely a real joke. Definitely my real laugh. Real laugh at your real joke. I hate it.
So do I. It kind of hurts to do.
Then don't do it. Stop. Okay. Tell me about the angels or whatever the fuck you're talking about.
Okay. Well, the bourbon goes there. Some of it will evaporate. Eventually, it'll be good and drinkable. Yes. That's all I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. Because the angels have blessed it and they drink it.
Because the angels go... delicious, and then that's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
So warehouse C, okay. That's where all this happens.
Yes.
And when ghost hunters visited, they experienced hearing things like someone whispering, "Rye." They
rye?
Heard someone rye. They think someone said oh. Rye.
Okay.
And like apparently, also, yeah, later, like another day, there was a tour that was going through, and a tour guide was giving a tour, and they heard someone whisper rye. And they were like, they stopped and all their tour kind of looked at them and they were like, hey, did you hear that? And they were like, yeah, we heard it too.
Like drinking whiskey and rye.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of a thing.
Okay. That's weird.
Yeah. Right. But weirdest of all. Yeah.
Do they make rye or do they just make bourbon? Is it the ghosts trying to be like, you should make rye?
They're like, we know this is warehouse C where you store the bourbon, but we would prefer if you stored rye.
If there was rye, we actually like rye more.
Can you bring some rye from warehouse B?
Can you make some rye? I would like some rye.
I know it's not rye season, but I'd like some. Like, is there seasons for?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's not like grape season, right?
No.
Well, I know there's a harvest. It's got to be harvest season.
Yeah, but I don't think there's like a season. Like there's not like a season where it's like you age ready it. Or anything. Yeah, you age it. Yeah. You distill it.
Yeah. Huh. All right.
I don't know. If you're a distiller, if you're a colonel who makes bourbon and rye and whiskey and gin and shit, tell us.
Tell us. Invite us. We'd love to come learn.
Yeah.
And see your ghosts. So thank you and good night. No, don't go anywhere.
Keep going. I'm gonna keep talking. Finish your story.
So, ghost hunters. All that happened to them. The ride, all these things. But weirdest of all, they reported that two of their team members, while they were in Warehouse C, on separate floors, heard a noise. And after hearing that noise, they were both grabbed. And they were both grabbed on their butts.
Ah! No.
So they grabbed their butts. And they were on different floors. And it happened at the same time. Which is pretty wackadoodle.
They were grabbed on the butt by a ghost?
They got butt grabbed by a ghost. Yeah.
Wow.
But my favorite story to come out of Warehouse C is that one busy day, a crew foreman and his men were moving barrels within the warehouse. You know how you do. Mm-hmm. Working hard, the men decided to take a break and sit for a moment. The foreman heard someone say to him, "Get out," as he was still among the barrels, but no one was around. So he was like, "That's weird.
That's not cool."
He went to join the men, but then heard something say to him, "Get out now." I don't know if it said it so scary, but I said it scary enough because he didn't know what the heck had happened, but he listened. He listened to that fear and he listened to that warning. And he rounded up the crew and got them all outside. And seconds after the last man left the building, the wall of the building they had just been sitting beside collapsed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thanks, ghost.
If they had stayed even a minute more, they would have been crushed.
Damn. We love a helpful ghost. A ghost warning.
Right? A sassy ghost that pinches butts and says, "Get out."
Oh my God.
Just doing the Lord's work. A security guard says, also this is a different incident. A security guard said he noticed lights on in the gift shop after hours. And thinking he saw someone inside the building, he went to investigate, only to find no one was there. Mm-hmm. So there's like quite a few, you know, classic kind of things like that. And the ghosts at Buffalo Trace are such a thing that photos of various ghostly incidents line the walls of Stony Point's basement.
Ah, that's fun.
Yeah. And so when ghost hunters went there, they were hoping to have them identify that Blanton was the ghost, because that's kind of the running theory by, I think, the folks at Buffalo Trace. But they couldn't exactly determine that. And they all kind of assumed someone who calls himself Colonel wouldn't be out pinching butts. But I beg to differ. I feel like maybe he would be.
Exactly what a guy who calls himself Colonel would be doing.
Yeah, maybe the B in Albert B. Blanton stands for butts.
Oh my God.
Wow, we cracked Blanton. The case. Literally. Wow. Pun intended.
Wow.
Wow.
I guess if you're a ghost, like, you can't, like, normally I would be like, make sure that you, like, make sure it's okay if you're going to be going around grabbing people's butts.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
but consent if you're a ghost,
is the only thing that matters, yeah.
If you're a ghost, can you really get, like, can you really ask? Can you really get...
Maybe he asked and took and, like, thought he got an answer and was like,
maybe.
Deep, deep, you know?
He was like, can I grab your butt? And they're like,
can I get a little butt action? Yeah. He's just a ghost who wants some butts. Is that a problem?
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all just a bunch of goats? Goats!
Aren't we all we're just a bunch of goats.
We're just a bunch of goats. Are we all just a bunch of ghosts looking for butts?
Looking for butts.
The end of day. That's what it is. That's what life is. Life is long, and so are butts.
We're all just out there looking for a butt to grab.
Correct. but yeah, so basically ghost hunters were like, Colonel wouldn't grab butts. It's probably just some other workers being cheeky, pun intended.
Cheeky.
So Buffalo Trace, as you could tell by the fact that their walls are lined with photos, they're into ghosts. They love it. They have a free ghost tour, actually, with guaranteed spirits, Cecilia.
Wow.
They guarantee.
Because they give you bourbon?
Yeah, they give you a little sample. Guaranteed. Though I think they might have put a bit of a stall on it because of Cove, but I'm not sure. And Buffalo Trace has survived floods, fires, tornadoes, prohibition, and the plague.
Oh boy.
And a ghost infestation. I feel like they are here to stay. So that's Buffalo Trace. I got a lot of my information today from BuffaloTraceDistillery.com, Wikipedia. I watched a bit of the Ghost Hunters episode, season 7, episode 23, if you're really interested. Okay. And I got info from RoadTrippers.com. And that, my friends, is some good old Kentucky bourbon.
Hell yeah. I'm looking at some, like, pictures of the brewery, and it's very cute.
It's very cute. I would love to go to there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really cute.
Buffalo Trace. And then you can go and maybe a ghost will grab your butt.
Maybe. We can only hope.
It looks like it's open.
Yeah, it is open. Like, you can go and get tours. It's just the ghost tours, I think, are on halt. Are halted right now.
Yes.
Because they have a bunch of different tours. And I'm pretty sure they're, if not all, mostly free.
They were named Distiller of the Year by Whiskey Magazine.
Ooh,
and their newest bourbon was handpicked by Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
That's interesting. Okay. I'm in. Let's go. I'm all in. They got Chris Stapleton in.
Alrighty.
We're in too. Okay. Hell yeah. So I'm going to the States too.
Ooh.
But not there. Good news, Kylie. We're going to the other end. Where's Kentucky? Are we going to the other end of the country? Where the fuck is Kentucky? Yeah, we're going to the other end of the country.
Oh, we're leaving the bluegrass of Kentucky?
We're leaving the bluegrass of Kentucky, and we're going to the Pacific coast.
Oh,
we're gonna
go.
We got to go over some mountains and shit, and we're going to go to Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that is absolutely the opposite way.
Very much. Okay, yeah, sorry, not I did. I never learned American geography. I didn't know where Kentucky was. I had to look it up.
We don't know everything, okay? You can't expect us to know everything.
Not all of us. Kentucky.
We hardly know anything, okay?
Oh, I've probably been to Kentucky. Awkward.
Kentucky's cute.
I've been there when I was little because my dad used to have to work in Cincinnati sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Cincinnati's like right on the Kentucky
border.
So I've been to the Kentucky Zoo.
You've been to the Kentucky border.
Cincinnati Zoo. I've been to Cincinnati when I was a young baby child.
When you're a young baby blatant and yourself.
I haven't been to Seattle though, but we're gonna go.
I would love to go to Seattle. Let's go right now.
Let's go to Seattle. Okay, so I was watching Malignant.
Okay.
Which is the James Wan horror movie from last year.
Yes.
And it had been kind of hyped up, so I was like, I'll watch it. It might be good. And it rules. It's
oh, good.
Pretty weird. Yeah. But it
I heard
is
it.
Set.
I heard it was good, yeah.
I really liked it. Okay. It's very strange.
Love that.
So go watch it. Let me know what you think. It's cool as hell. But it's set in Seattle, and part of the action and one of the main action set pieces takes place in these underground tunnels under Seattle. One of the characters is a tour guide down there, and she gets abducted by this scary guy while working down there. So it's cool, and it looks super creepy and old. And so I looked it up, and I was like, is this based on a real thing? Is there actually a creepy underground in Seattle? And there is.
Okay, love that.
So
love
we've talked about similar things in the past. We've talked about the Sacramento Underground, which is the same kind of situation. They built the new city on top of the old city.
Yeah.
It's also we've talked about the
San Fran
catacombs or the San Francisco Underground.
Okay.
So
cool.
It's the same sort of situation. There's just the system of tunnels right underneath the city. It's very similar to Sacramento and San Francisco because it was raised up to avoid flooding, partially.
Makes sense for Seattle.
Seattle also had some more issues. But
I know Seattle has issues. I've seen Grey's Anatomy.
I'm not going to talk anything about Grey's Anatomy because I haven't seen Grey's Anatomy, but go off.
that's all I got. Just they got lots of issues.
So when Seattle had a similar problem to these other West Coast cities because they were built kind of at sea level.
Right.
Because when Americans like started moving west, they were really dumb about how they built these cities up. So yes. Before colonization, the Duwamish people had been living in the Puget Sound area, which is where Seattle is now. They'd been living in this area since the end of the last glacial period.
Oh, well, hell yeah, they have.
So, like, fucking oldly saddled as hell. They've been there so long.
For literally forever.
Forever.
As long as anyone can possibly remember.
So they were, of course, in, like, the 1800s, they were displaced and oppressed by European and, like, American settlers moving west, coming into the area.
Manifest destiny, baby.
Hell yeah.
We know how that goes.
Let's just take whatever we want.
Let's take whatever we want and spread our dysentery everywhere.
And they did, and they had a great time doing it. Today, oddly enough, they're not legally recognized as a tribe by the U.S. government because the U.S. government is dumb and
is racist.
Like, they need like proof that they'd been a tribe for like years and years, and obviously they don't have proof because they didn't necessarily like write things down.
Treaties or land claims.
They don't have like records because that's not how they worked. Because they didn't think they would need it. So that's a whole other problem that I was like just reading far too much into, and I was like, I don't need to know all this, but like interesting. They are, however, an organized tribe with as of 2018 they had 600 enrolled members.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they have a really cool longhouse and cultural center in western Seattle. They seem really cool.
They seem really cool. I would like to visit the longhouse and say hi.
All right. When we go to Seattle, it can be one of the spots we go.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get some coffee. Let's go there. Let's say hi to Meredith Grey. And then
sure, whatever.
That's what Seattle
want.
Is, right?
Yeah.
In these. And then the tunnels. That's what Seattle
in the tunnels. We can go in the tunnels.
Yeah.
So
don't they have like a big, they got like a big market.
Yeah, well, the market. Pike Place.
That's right. Market. Like the Starbucks.
Like the coffee.
That's right. Yeah, let's go. Okay.
So when Americans started spreading westward and settling in the Puget Sound, they didn't think to like talk to people who'd been there for years and years and years.
Because why would indigenous knowledge be important to these white people?
No. They have never thought of doing such a thing. So they just started to build. And they're building a lumber trading post there, obviously, because there's a lot of wood.
Yeah.
So they started building pretty much like right on the beach, like at sea level. At the beach, basically. And,
okay,
like,
but also, like, but they're coming from the East Coast. Mm. And even on the East Coast, they didn't do that.
Yeah, they're not that smart. I mean, probably not, like, directly on the beach, but, like, right at the water, like.
The water line, probably. Or
the
like,
water line, like, close to the water because they had needed to, like, build ship over water as well. So they're like, we want to be close.
They're like, we're a bunch of shipwrights. We'd like to make ships, and we don't care if we live underwater. That's our next project.
We don't care if everything floods constantly and is disgusting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, things were flooding pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that they were doing was because they have all this wood and lumber, they're just building everything out of wood.
Oh, yeah, classic. Yeah.
And wood, a lot of the time, like other cities, Chicago, San Francisco, there's gonna be fires.
Oh baby, we love talking about fire. There is so much fire when you have much wood.
So one of the things was, yeah, they have a lot of wood, and Seattle is very damp. It's a very rainy climate, so they're not really worried about fire. They're just storing like flammable chemicals inside of like these super flammable buildings.
Yeah, they're like, it's chill, it's always raining,
it's cool, it's raining all the time, like we're not gonna worry about what would happen if there was a fire and how fast it was gonna spread.
Oh god,
we're just gonna keep doing
That's
what we're
really
doing
funny.
So yeah, it was a big thing in American cities in, like, the late 1800s for them to just, like, catch fire and be on fire for a while.
Yeah, fire was, like, kind of what life was. You're just waiting for the next fire and hope it doesn't spread too much.
Mm. Yeah, like, we've talked about the one in Chicago that, like, demolished most of the city.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the one in Montreal. We've talked about Charlottetown had tons of rules about fire, and because there was so much fire all the time, because everything was made of wood. Another like shipbuilding place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like so many places are like that.
So in Seattle, in June of 1889, it's really, there's a heat wave. The fire chief happened to be out of town. And also just like the fire brigade in the city was kind of disorganized and not very good at their job, it seems.
I mean, why would they have to be? The sky does it for them every day.
It's never going to catch fire.
It's never really been a problem. I love the fire chief is out of town, though. That's iconic.
The fire, I know. That's like, I'm reading it. I'm like, wow, this is a problem. Yeah, so the fire chief's out of town.
Disaster. Yeah.
They're like, nothing will ever happen. It's fine. But there's a heat wave, so nothing's damp anymore.
Right.
It's June. And there's a carpenter who's working, and he puts a pot of glue on the stove to, like, heat it up. I guess that's a carpenter thing.
Okay, I was going to say, why the heck glue got to be hot? What's that
I
about?
Don't know.
Maybe old-timey glue, like, congeals more or whatever?
Maybe,
I don't know.
You need hot glue? Like a hot glue gun. They didn't have hot glue guns back then.
Oh, I guess.
Hot glue on the stove.
Me making fun of hot glue where I just love my hot glue gun.
Constantly using hot glue.
I shouldn't be the person making fun of hot glue.
This man wants his hot glue.
All right. Okay. He's got ye old hot glue gun going.
Yeah. He's doing old timey hot glue gun.
Ye old stove glue. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
So hot stove glue. He's heating up his glue and he is like bringing it to a boil, and you know when he's
boiling his glue, that's a little much. Okay,
I don't know, but you know when you like boil a pot of water or like you put soup on the stove and you just like forget about it?
No, but I know how you do that. So.
You know how I put a pot of water on the stove and I just leave and I forget. That's what he did.
Okay, I mean it happens to the best of us. It's a classic. Yeah. Yeah.
So he did that, and it started boiling over, and he noticed that it was, like, boiling over and, like, catching shit on fire, so he obviously throws water on it, but instead of the water putting out the fire, it just, like, mingled with the glue, and it spread it.
Like lava.
Like
glue lava.
So he lavaed up that glue, and the room was full of, like, sawdust and wood and turpentine, because this is a
not
carpenter.
Turpentine!
He's a carpenter.
Oh, sir.
So it catches really fast, and since not only this, like, workshop was super flammable, the whole city is super flammable, and it spread so fast, multiple city blocks were on fire.
Oh my God.
The fire reached like saloons and breweries, and those are full of alcohol. And
like
what happens when
June
fire
really
reaches
was
alcohol?
Busting out all over. Oh
yeah.
My God.
So there were like explosions when it hit like saloons. And like back then when fires like this started, there's not much you're going to be able to do to contain it.
No, and it just kind of goes.
It burned for 24 hours, which is not as long as I thought it would be.
No, like, I
would
have thought like a week. Like that is kind of normal. Yeah.
Because some of the other ones were going for like 3 or 4 days. This one seemed to be sort of contained. But within 24 hours, most of downtown had been destroyed. 25 blocks were destroyed. More than 5,000 people lost their jobs or businesses. And there was an estimated $8 million in damage. There's no record of anyone dying in the fire.
Oh, that's good. That was my next question.
Which is good. Which is also sort of a thing in some of the other ones. Like, I think, like, the Great Chicago Fire, like, maybe, like, 2 or 3 people died.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. Like, people knew what was happening and they got out fairly quickly. But it, like, really fucked up the city. Like, everything
just
burned down.
Yeah.
So by now, the city knew better than to just, like, rebuild the same way that they had built before. Because they were we're constantly getting flooded and everything just burned down. So maybe let's not build at the same level and let's not build everything out of wood. So the stone thing is easy enough. You just build things out of stone instead of wood. But they were like, how are we going to raise the whole city?
Yeah, they're like, so how the hell do we do
flood?
That?
Flood. But they figured it out. They planned to raise the city 22 feet higher than it originally had been to prevent flooding.
Yeah.
So walls were built to separate the storefronts from the road. So there were some buildings that obviously didn't burn down and some that were like being rebuilt quicker than they were like raising it. So they had like storefronts, or they just built like temporary storefronts knowing that they would be underground eventually.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's so, weird.
They built like walls to separate the storefronts from the road, creating like alleyways. So there was like an alleyway between the storefront and where the road would be. Okay. And then they filled the streets in with concrete. And so there would be like a storefront down below at their original level, an alleyway, and then like the road above.
Much concrete.
So people would like go down like ladders to get into the old storefronts.
Whoa.
So they'd have to like go up and down as they were building so they could like continue business. And then people were building these new storefronts at the new level.
How were they? My brain is like, hold on.
I know, it's confusing.
Because I'm like, so they were, the road was really just very tall road.
Yes.
And how do you build? I guess my question was, how do you build such a tall building? But buildings can be tall.
Buildings can be tall.
Okay.
So they just built the buildings.
They just decided, okay, you know how this was ground level? That's suddenly not. That's just very much below, downtown basement.
But they didn't want to just like completely shut off these basement levels. So they're like, oh, we can have an alleyway. Yeah. And then when we build this new level, that alleyway below can be tunnels that are still accessible. And they still have these storefronts underground.
So the storefronts can exist fully underground, some of them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, mole people. I love it.
So they would build the new storefronts at like new street level.
Yeah.
And they like either the businesses would move upstairs or like a different business would be at store.
So they could really be like building block style, like business on business.
Yeah. Business. Like there's one underground and there's one on top.
Whoa, that's kind of cool.
Or like the same business has both levels.
Right.
Yeah. Like
there's lots of options.
Okay. Businesses continue to operate out of their like old entrances in the alleyways while building new entrances at the new higher level that the new street level was to be at.
So what did like my picture? So I'm just picturing this. This makes no sense, but I'm just picturing a very tall road. Like, what about, like, the backs of the buildings? Like, these are, I don't know.
You know what
I mean? I just can't.
It's so difficult to, like, fully wrap my head around. So I think, like, the backs of the buildings, they also just, like,
filled in?
They filled it in, or they had another alley behind as well, maybe?
I guess I'm not, I just can't quite picture the layout of the city, so I'm kind of, like, I don't.
Yeah,
I just am so confused.
It would make
it
sense.
It sounds insane.
It would make sense for there to be an alleyway behind as well, for there to be like a back entrance, but I don't know.
Well, because a lot of times when we've seen this kind of thing happen before, or even like, you know, in ancient times, they would build a city on top of old shit and just like forget about the old shit beneath.
Yeah.
So this is interesting because they're not doing that. That's why I'm trying to catch up. Yeah.
The plan was not to like forget about the city underneath. It was sort of to continue to use it. And they built like skylights too into like when they like filled the street up and like turned it into a tunnel. So there would be like glass, like skylights that you could walk on the sidewalks, but when you were in the tunnel during the daytime, like light
would
shine
through.
So if you go down there now in the daytime, you don't necessarily need to have like lights on all the time
because there's light coming through.
There's skylights, in some areas.
Whoa. Okay, Seattle, what the hell? Why is no one talking about this? Like, why? This is the most interesting thing that is about you. Why is no one telling me about this? Besides Cecilia, thank you, Cecilia, for telling us about it.
Some people just, like, continued to use these lower-level shops, and, like, some people operated their businesses, like, completely out of this lower level for a time.
Mm, okay.
It didn't really last that long, though, the use of the underground, because in 1909, the city closed off the tunnels because there were a lot of rats, and they were worried about the plague.
Oh, no, not the plague.
The plague, because there was going to be, like, a World's Fair in Seattle. So they were like, how about so we don't have the plague when everyone's here? We shut down the tunnels.
Oh, man.
So all the business that were operating out of the lower level were forced to relocate. But as we've seen with other underground tunnels and areas of other cities, like in Pasadena. Was it Pasadena?
I thought it was San Francisco.
It was San Francisco and Sacramento. I wrote Sacramento. Pasadena for some reason. Okay, not right.
You just got California on your mind.
I was like, well, it was somewhere in California, not in Pasadena. It was in Sacramento and San Francisco.
That makes and, more sense.
And also, like, the underground, the catacombs in Paris.
Yeah.
These sort of abandoned underground tunnels right after they got shut down officially. They started to become places for, like, homeless populations to take shelter.
Yeah.
Also places for drugs, gambling, and brothels.
Woo, woo, woo.
Kids,
the, the big ones.
Lawless lands. You can do whatever the fuck you want down there. And rats, I guess.
And rats and rats and rats and rats.
And rats. So these sorts of activities continued pretty unchecked until the tunnels were cleared out in the 1940s. At which point they were, like, pretty abandoned.
Yeah, okay.
But in the 1960s, a journalist named Bill Speedle took an interest in the underground.
Ooh.
So the underground is beneath the Pioneer Square neighborhood of Seattle, which is one of
named
the older
for
neighborhoods.
Pioneers, I
named
assume.
For pioneers, because it was the original old city, and it was also... like, built up in the late 1800s.
Right.
After everything burned down.
yes.
But in, like, the 50s and 60s, it started becoming, like, the downtowns of a lot of major American cities really run down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were calling it Skid Row.
Suburban sprawl, all these things. Yeah, yeah.
So it was under threat. There were sort of plans to just
white flight, all these things, yeah.
There were plans to, like, fully demolish it and rebuild it.
Oh,
in the 60s.
Wow.
Which would have gotten rid of a lot of Seattle's history.
Yeah,
so
the
60s
really did not give a shit about preservation.
They're like, nah, fuck it. It looks like shit. Let's just completely get rid of it.
Oh my God. I will never forgive the 60s for that. I will never forgive them. I can't. I shan't, and I won't.
But this guy, Mr. Speedle.
Okay, Speedle. Give us the Speedle.
Speedle. He started doing tours of the underground.
Whoa, that's cool.
They sort of became like a tourist trap and like history enthusiasts and ghost hunters.
Wah, 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 wah.
Were really interested. So he like figured out how to attract people to the area. They started to like refurbishing and preserve things, make it safe, make it accessible.
Whoa.
Like the Paris catacombs and these other underground areas, only sections of it are accessible to the general public.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's still, like, a big area, and it's probably super dangerous to go to some places.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't heard anything. If anyone's from Seattle and knows about this, like, you know when, like, it's Paris catacombs, they would have, like, parties and, like, raves and, like, stuff like that. I haven't read anything about that happening in the underground in Seattle, but I would be interested. I feel like they totally would have, like, concerts and shit down there if they could.
Wouldn't that be sick?
That'd be so sweet.
That'd be so cool.
Let me know if anyone knows of any raves in the Seattle underground.
Yeah, if anyone's hosting any raves in Seattle underground and it's not too scary and you want us to come, let us know.
We'll go.
We'll come. We'll join on in. We'll rave.
You.
We don't care.
You can go down there with tours. Since they were, like, pretty much abandoned, there's a lot of just, like, old shit left down there. There's, like, furniture and old signs.
What?
Just, like, a bunch of old shit that people
That's
just abandoned
cool.
and left down there.
Yeah.
So Bill Speedle died in 1988, but his tour still operates. You can go on his, like, original tour.
I love him. What a
guy. History company is still around. It operates from Doc Maynard's Public House in Pioneer Place Park, where you can also find a really cool glass and cast iron pergola, a cable car stop built in 1909, and a huge totem pole. So it sounds like a cool park, too.
That sounds really cool. It's got everything I like.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
That tour seems to be more of like a humorous kind of fun for the whole family kind of thing. But there's a whole bunch of other tours that operate in the underground, including, of course, ghost tours. Because it's haunted.
Yes. Obviously. I was thinking it might be.
Oh, weird. It's haunted.
Oh, I had a feeling maybe it might be.
Is haunted? No,
I just thought, well, if that's somewhere, then ghosts might be there too.
I'm not just talking about tunnels because we like to talk about tunnels.
Oh, shocker.
So one of the most haunted spots in the underground is the old bank. Ooh. It was once open 24 hours a day. Guess why, Carly?
Because Boots, Babes, and Buccaneers.
Prospectors.
Oh, my God. Even better. Even better. Even
our favorite better. Guys that I keep talking about.
They keep coming up recently.
They keep coming up. I'm obsessed. We're so
into the idea. Not actually, not at all, but mostly into just the name.
I just love Prospectors.
Prospectors. So funny. So
they were working the gold rush, the Klondike gold rush through Seattle.
Of course they were.
And once they got all that gold, they got to go somewhere to get cash
money. For gold.
That's so right. This is the original cash
they
for gold.
They didn't call Mr. Cash for gold. They had to go to the bank.
The olden days.
Yeah.
This bank was open 24 hours so that as soon as prospectors arrive, they can immediately just like trade in their gold for cash.
Wow.
Whatever time of day they got.
Ahead of the times. You know, 24-hour banking. We always think it's a thing ready. Of the current and the future, but really it's a thing of the past as well.
They were ahead of their time, this bank.
I love that for them.
So ghost hunters and tour guides have spotted a ghost named Edward in this area.
Ooh, Edward.
Edward? Oh, is it Edward Cullen?
Oh, my God. Better not be. Out of here, Edward. I mean, it's close by.
Forks, Washington. Seattle.
He can run fast, too.
He can run so fast.
And he has fast cars. So, conspiracy theory. What if
he's driving that Volvo color. Around?
Yes.
It's probably not Edward Cullen, but his name was picked up by EVPs taken in the area. So people like asked, "Oh, is there a ghost? What's your name?" And they reportedly heard Edward or Eddie as a response.
Both of them.
He was spotted way back in the 80s. Someone spotted a tall man wearing suspenders with a handlebar mustache. Not Edward Cullen.
But I wish. That's really cool.
What if,
a handlebar mustache is... I love it. I think it's really funny. And I think it's really good.
A handlebar mustache.
I just think it's... I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I'm just a fan.
If anyone out there has a handlebar mustache, send Carly pics.
Can you show it to me? Because I would like to applaud it. Thank you. That's all.
Carly's a big fan of your work.
Honestly, just most mustaches in general. I just like them. There's something old-timey about a mustache that is great. It's a great thing. But if it's a mustache that attaches to your sideburns, maybe no.
That's like
mutton chop, like
that's very
like
old timey.
Fathers of Confederation style. Yeah. That's the one thing that I'm like,
That they like shave just the chin.
Yeah, I'm like, what's happening here? Why are you doing that? You know? I'm like, that's so much effort. And
it's
looks stupid.
It's called fashion, Carly.
I mean, I wouldn't know it, so
fashion.
Mustaches. Honestly, the weirder the better. I just think they're really funny. Just like them.
Yeah, our ghost Eddie's got one.
I love that for him.
But this
I'm really glad.
This is a handlebar mustache on a ghost. People think that he was a bank teller who was killed on the job.
Oh no!
Maybe in like a robbery gone wrong.
Well, people wouldn't put it past him. It's the Wild West.
It's the Wild West. People be robbing banks.
They really do.
So maybe they robbed his bank and he died.
Disgusting.
And he's in the tunnels now. There are also reports of the ghost of a woman thought to have been murdered behind the vault in the bank. Not a lot of info on that. But cold spots have been reported in the area, and photographs taken in the bank area often show orbs.
Ghosts. I don't like that, but I also do. I do like that also.
The second haunted hotspot in the Seattle underground is the Oriental Hotel.
Whoa.
A name that would not fly now.
A name that we're not into, but we but love hotels.
Called. That's yeah. what it's called. So it was a popular place of work for the seamstresses of the old city, who were not seamstresses. That was like the euphemism.
That was their cover.
That was their cover. It was actually sex workers.
How could you be a seamstress at a hotel? That's all I'm saying. That's not a good cover. It's a hotel.
I don't know. That would just be like what the people would say. They'd be like, oh, I'm going to go see my seamstress.
Oh, okay. Like, I have a lot of errands to run today. I gotta go to my seamstress.
I gotta see my seamstress. Oh, I think I have a hole in my pants. I must go to my seamstress.
I have a hole in my pants. I wonder if she can help me with it.
She can help me with my pants.
My pants. There's something wrong with my pants.
There's something wrong with my pants. I need to go see my seamstress.
You know my pants? There's something wrong with them.
So the people have often spotted shadows of women spotted walking around in the area of the Oriental Hotel, and a lot of loud noises with no apparent source. And I'm like, what kind of loud noises?
What kind of loud noise? Elaborate. I'm just curious. Right. I'm just wondering. Right. Well, I want to know for when we visit, know what to listen for. Just want to know. Okay?
What kind of loud noises are they making?
Just curious.
There is, of course, in the underground tunnels, a woman in white.
Oh, my God. Wow. If you're playing bingo, baby. There it is. In white. Bingo.
She's been spotted in the tunnels, though there's, like, not a lot of info about her. There's just, like, there's a woman, and she wears a white dress.
That's cool.
Faces are often seen in the windows at the entrance to the tunnels as well.
Okay, that would terrify me, and that to me sounds like the most believable thing to see.
Just like faces
in windows.
Yeah.
Oh, no, thank you.
Also,
windows underground. So weird, because it was once above ground. Like, that's not correct.
Well, because it once was the regular level, and then they built on top of it, and now it's just houses. It's just like storefronts that are underneath.
We'll post some of the photos to Instagram, obviously.
Yeah.
It looks fricked. I was Googling it as you were talking to it. Mm-hmm. It looks amazing.
I don't know how they built it. I'm not an engineer. I have no fucking idea how they did
me
it.
Me neither. Yeah.
I was reading it and then trying to explain it. And I was like, I don't know if this makes sense, but this is how I understood it.
You were nailing it, because the way you described it is basically how I pictured it. So and how it is. Because I looked at the pictures.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you how that happened.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Science, engineering, brilliance.
Math,
probably. They, but some of them, they, built the storefronts first before they built up the street. Because they, needed storefronts.
Of course.
Everything burned down. So some of them, they just, didn't put a lot of, ornamentation or anything on them. They were just, shit, we just need a storefront.
Rudimentary or whatever, yeah.
So they are, some of them are kind of weird because they're just really, plain. Not,
here's a door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, so we should go. They have all kinds of tours. You can do, family tours, less family-oriented tours. You can do ghost tours. Could do nighttime ghost tours.
What?
Spooky.
Oh my god. All the options.
Yep.
What the hell, Seattle? I knew that you had a lot going on, but I had no clue that this is what you had going on. And now I like you a lot more. You a lot more, I must say. I didn't dislike you to start with, but you need to lead with this. This is what you need to lead with,
just
Seattle.
Tell her so that you have.
Come on.
These terrifying tunnels.
Yes. We love tunnels, famously. And we love ghosts.
We are obsessed.
And we love the idea of fire and towns burning down and having to rebuild the top of themselves, because it's very, I was going to say funny, but it is kind of funny. But it is mostly weird, and that's why we like it.
We love it.
And I just, why isn't Seattle lead with this? Instead, they're like, we like fish. We like coffee. We are Seattle. You know
that's
us
what
from
people like Carly. People love
you know coffee. Us from Grey's Anatomy. Like, I don't like any of those things as much as I like what you just described.
I don't know them from Grey's Anatomy. I don't fucking know Grey's Anatomy.
As you shouldn't. But that's something for another day.
I've avoided it. No, thank you.
I have long given up, and I'm proud to say I have. It's probably been like a 6-year stint that I haven't engaged in Grey's Anatomy.
Good.
I'm
good
proud
call.
To say I am 6 years clean from Grey's Anatomy.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. I can't do it. Just can't do it. I only have so much room for so many soap operas. Mm-mm. I didn't have room for that one anymore.
No soap operas, only ghosts.
Only ghosts. Unless your soap operas are like period pieces, because then maybe I'll watch it. Because I like Downton Abbey. Yep. I'm watching the new Gilded Age. You know,
okay. Gotta I've heard it.
Get
bad.
Some of that in. It's in not good, but it's beautiful. And Cecilia, it's New York City. Turn of the century, New York City.
Okay,
You're gonna catch me watching it. Yep. Like it is my true dream to live in New York City in the turn of the century, the height of the like. Fucking Vanderbilts.
Gilded age.
Like, I'm here for it. It's beautiful. Cynthia Nixon is really great in it. She plays like Bummertown feeble woman. It took Christine Baranski, and Christine Baranski's her sister, and she's like,
oh my god, what?
This powerful girl. I know. And Nathan Lane shows up in an incredible mustache. Okay? Like, it has everything I could want. It is slow paced. It's not the like it's fine. But I really love it. It has Audrey McDonald. It has so many like Broadway people and so many just New York people and just like it's really cute. Okay. And it has about trains, Cecilia. It's about new money and old money. And
it has trains. All this. We love trains.
It's got a train magnet.
We love a train magnet.
The whole first episode is they move into their brand new house, finally, on Fifth Avenue, where all the old mansions were in New York City. We famously know this. I could talk for hours about it, but I won't. But yeah, the train magnet and his wife and his family all move into their brand new home. And everyone's like, oh, they're here. I wish they weren't here. Like, it's so good. Christine Baranski across the street's like, I hate the new rich people. Like,
you
it's
have
so
to
good.
Listen to Carly's other podcast where she just recaps.
This I recap
show.
Poorly Gilded Age.
Yeah, she just rants about it.
No, I'm done now. I've gotten off my golden horse.
Your
no,
gilded.
But it's really my gilded horse for the ages. No,
train.
It's cute, but it's done.
It's done.
Yeah. Okay. That's all. That's all I have to say on that. But I did watch. I must update everyone. I watched all of Euphoria.
Oh yeah.
I was sick.
How did you
marvelous,
like it?
Stupendous, tremendous. I really, really liked the play.
Oh my god, the play is so fucked.
It's so good. It was so good.
Oh my god, I thought the last episode was so bad.
Oh, it was garbage. Oh, it was bad for sure.
I was watching, I was like, what is happening? Why is this boy singing for 5 minutes?
It was it made no sense. I was like, why are they giving him so much screen time right now for just singing a dumb song?
So many things that you're supposed to be wrapping up right now, but you're giving this.
But instead, I thought that too. I was like, yeah. I think it's like, I really like it because it's like a, I almost said a good Riverdale, but that's not what I meant.
No.
Riverdale's a soap, whereas this is like fun experimental. It's kind of what it's trying to do and be, and it's kind of doing it really well. Yeah, well, it's like doing it better than it should be.
Yeah, it's got some good shit, definitely.
Got some really good shit. Some good shit that like, I was like, oh, I'm glad that TV's doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, I kind of feel about it how, like, when I watched Russian Doll, I was like, I'm so glad TV's doing this. That's how I kind of felt about it. And I also liked Euphoria because I was like, all these teens are horrible. And the whole time I kept thinking, where are their parents? And then I know where some of their parents are.
You know where their parents are.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I'm like, where are their teachers? And then I'm like, so, who fucking knows? And then
who let them put on this play?
Who let them? I was like, the budget for this play. Who paid
for this play?
Who paid for the? And I've seen all the memes. And it's, like, yeah. And it's just so true and funny. It made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like I like it. I like it a lot. I really personally I thought the first season was excellent, and then the second season I watched them back to back, so I don't really have any, you know, that's kind of one of the problems of not watching TV in space, because then you can really compare really easily what you liked and what you didn't. The first season I thought was brilliant. Second season I thought was okay.
Yeah, it's weird. The second season is really like, it's very strange.
They continue to up the ante, and that's great, and they should. They just heighten to a point where they're doing a like $1 million budget play in a high school.
Yeah.
And
there's like a fucking SWAT team.
And
like,
What is happening? Just like, yeah, it was so much.
Like, don't give me that. I just want. I just want Lexi and Fez to be nice and kiss.
I know! They were the best ones! Give them a kissy! They're so cute!
Give them a fucking SWAT team in his house.
I got so mad. Fez just wants to be a farmer! Leave them alone! They were really my standouts for the season. And I think they were everyone's standouts for the season. They gave them the best. They finally gave them, you know, good things in time. In space, they were the best. I just like, wow, I was like, this can't be high school.
I know. I was like, this is so different from my high school experience.
But then I was thinking about it and I was like, well, to be fair, there are kids that are going through this.
Yeah,
just it not happened. All of this,
Carly, like, just because we were fucking lame in high school doesn't mean that everybody was.
I agree with you. We're the Lexis of the group. Yeah,
absolutely.
We were Lexis who were friends with other Lexis.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any of this. It's just a group of Lexis. Yeah. which I'm not mad about. No. But I'm also glad I never wrote any plays in high school, and I did that on purpose. I would like to point that out now. As a playwright now and a theater maker, I purposefully didn't write theater and put it on in high school because I knew it would be bad. I didn't want to make the show from Euphoria. I didn't want to make the show where they have them line up in our life, where they like the cutouts. Like, so I didn't want to be the SNL like theater sketch where they do like the theater troupe sketch. Like, I didn't want to be that. And to be fair, do I do that now? I try not to, but I also try to a little bit. who knows? But no, it was very silly. I liked it. I've shared the meme today of her mom. And it was like, my friend, not being able to do math, my friends. Stop! She's a writer. That meme today. Her mom predicting Lexi. I was like, "That's meme. She can't do math. She's a writer.
You're not allowed."
Yeah. Nope. So it made me laugh really hard. I was like, "I love to be seen." I didn't think I was Lexi in this TV show, but it turns out maybe I might be.
So. Oh no! I figured that out right away.
Yeah. No, I thought it was what's all their names? Not Cassie, not the other one. The other one, the fat friend. What's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Cat.
I don't remember. Cat, yeah.
See, I was like, oh, am I Cat? I just always do that thing where it's like the fat friend. I'm like, oh, am I this fat friend?
She looks the most like me.
I was like, she looks the most like me, but she also kind of was, like, in the beginning seemed the most like me. She seemed kind of, like, lame. Before but she then went, she, like, does a whole thing. A
wild.
And I was like, no, girl, that was not me, and that's still not me.
Yeah.
Not to disempower her, but again, these are teens. Like, they're all like making child pornography. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. Anyway, they're teens. These are teens.
They're children.
They're but children.
No, I knew I was Alexa from the beginning.
Yeah. No, I. And then I realized I was like, oh wait, I'm Lexi, and I'm just friends with a bunch of Lexis. Not being a part of any of this. Hey, speaking of Grey's Anatomy, McSteamy's in it. He's in Euphoria.
He's great in it.
He's the dad. He plays the dad.
Oh, Cal.
The bad dad. Yeah, he plays Cal. Oh. He's so great in this show.
Yeah.
He is amazing. He's a great actor. Yeah. He was great in Grey's Anatomy, too. He's so beautiful and so smart. But he is bad news in this show. God, oh, God. Yeah.
He's complex. Anyway.
He's complex. He's a complex individual.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our Euphoria recap.
Yeah, we just had to catch up on it.
We're cool teens. And
hey, I love teens. They're doing their thing.
Okay.
I was going to elaborate, but I don't think I want to. No, like that was enough.
They're doing their thing. You do you, teens.
Yeah, good for you, teens.
Maybe do it away from
It's
you.
Hard enough to be a teen. Yeah, that whole show made me think. It's hard enough to be a teen. Why the, like, look at all these teens doing that, but also so much more.
Doing the most. I'm like, wow. Yeah. I can't relate.
Right? They're like maximalists.
Maximalists. I mean,
not who we are. Next that's why we're the Lexis. That's why we're the Lexis.
It has inspired me to be fun with, like, makeup, though.
Yeah. Like, oh, there's so many good looks.
There's some good looks. Yeah, so I'm like,
Yeah. It's pretty sickening. And the fashion in it, too. I'm like, who's letting you leave the house like this?
Whoever is, great. Fantastic.
Like, let them do it. But also, what?
Go off.
Yeah. Also, what? Also, where do you live? And also, what season are we in? Like, you can never tell.
I don't know.
They're always just wearing the same outfits. It's amazing.
Because they live in, like, California. There's no such thing.
No, I know. Season. But, like, I know. But in the beginning, I was like, where and when are we? Also. Because I love the music in it. It's so good.
Yeah, the music.
It's the
really
perfect,
good.
I think, okay, well, the thing about Euphoria, real quick, I think it really captures today's youth in an excellent way, because it captures, like, an obsession with, like, looking amazing and being amazing and doing the most, and also an appreciation for nostalgic things and vintage things, and, you know, I think it does just, like, is amazing. I just really like it.
Definitely, chef's kiss. Yeah, it, like, the like, Cal episode where they did, like, their flashback to his, like, childhood.
So
that episode was really
good.
But also the music from it was, like, so good. They have the one, like, Sinead O'Connor song in it that I was like, fuck, I forgot about this song. Like,
so
I'm
good.
Obsessed with it now.
Yeah. They, like, they capture, they do such a good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all.
Kylie?
Yes, Cecilia?
I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have not seen any ghosts lately. I haven't left my house.
Oh, my God.
Cecilia? Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I have left my house, but I have not seen any ghosts.
Okay. All right. That's a bummer, but fair.
Yeah, I tried. We were at Ockmar.
Yes, we were.
We didn't go inside.
I know. It was too cold, so we didn't go inside.
It was too cold to...
Which is a real shame.
So, didn't happen. Yeah, so we didn't see any ghosts while we were there, because we were mostly not looking for ghosts. We were mostly just freezing our asses off.
We're mostly just being too cold to function. But it was nice to meet a bunch of folks. It was nice to be there. And I'm going to be there again this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully for most of it, if not all of it. And it's just been so cold.
Yeah.
And your girl's recovering from, you know, the thing. So we just want to say thank you for sticking with us and give you a little kissy.
Yeah, and thanks for anyone who came to Ockmar and said hi.
Yeah.
Or anyone that found us from that. That's pretty cool.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to this.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod. We're also on TikTok now, and we were gonna make some TikTok stuff, but Carly went and got COVID, so that's being We'll have some good TikTok content soon.
Soon. Coming at ya. Yeah, we've been putting out some slowly but surely. And yes. We have a lot of exciting TikTok content planned.
We do.
Yeah, just COVID literally threw a wrench into our plans.
So follow us on there for that.
Yes, absolutely.
We're also on Twitter at GAE Pod, and you can also send us a little email because we're at ghostreverpod@gmail.com.
That's right. Yeah. You can if you want to.
Send us a little note.
We wouldn't be mad at it.
No.
Nope.
Send us a
not
picture of your dog or something.
Yeah. Or if you see a ghost, send us a picture
of that. Send us a picture of a ghost, please.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. Well, we love you, and we'll see you next week, then.
Love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We gotta talk about my spirits. No more sock talk, okay?
No more socks, okay? Whenever talk
no more
sock. Again.
Socks are canceled on this podcast. I'm putting my foot down on socks.
Socks are over.